Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
This is In the Locker Room with Wolf and Starks, presented by your neighborhood Ford store on ESPN Pittsburgh and Steelers Nation Radio.
Welcome, everybody, as we are here at training camp, and it's a glorious day because you know why? Max, you're missing it. Us fat guys, you get a cool day in camp maybe once every a decade or twice. And, you know, the thing about it is it's just nice and breezy, and it's just awesome being able to, you know, sit up here and not, be sweating like crazy. So, Max, I got to tell you something. You're missing some really good stuff.
Oh, well, Wolf, you know what? I'm glad that you have this moment. That you can have it, and that I'm not blocking your wind flow. I'm usually sitting under the tent.
Right.
Yeah, but no, I mean, you know, it's funny. I'm pulling an Arthur Motes, but I'm not pulling an Arthur Motes. I actually downgraded myself there. But no, because Arthur lives close, he can actually drive home.
Right.
So it's a little bit different. I got to fly literally across the country. But no, I look at it and I'm like, you know what? I'm glad that I can be home and looking at the mountains and looking at my daughters, you know, for a day or two during camp. You know, everybody else gets a family day and gets a day off.
You're right.
I had to stay in the dorm, so I feel like, you know what? Hey, it's okay. I don't have any sad feelings about it because I know that you're going to man the ship and, of course, leave a little extra for me. You know, when you think about me at lunch and dinner tonight. We'll see if offense or defense wins.
Yeah. I'll man the ship, but I might run it aground. You know what I mean? Yeah. I'm giving thumbs up to Jacob because we're having a little bit of hearing problems here going back and forth. But let me get it straight because everybody knows that you live in Phoenix. Well, you're back in Phoenix. You went there at the behest of your daughter. Did you not? Because those birthdays, they're precious.
Yeah, no, the birthdays are precious. And you know what? I mean, it's a special moment. She turned 8, and we had an awesome birthday party last night. And she had her and all of her buddies. They bounced around and they had a good time at the little cheerleading place. So you know, it was good. It was good to see some friends. But you know, my girls, they mean the world to me. And so to be home and to see the joy on their face when they picked me up from the airport was priceless.
As they say, faith, family, and football. That's how we do it, and that's how we roll in the locker room. And that certainly is why you're a great dad, Max. I'm glad that you went back. I'm glad that you got to, you know, be hugging it out with your little ones and, of course, the good lady, the missus there. And I will say that we missed you here. You'll be back, what, Wednesday in training camp?
Yeah, I'll be back Wednesday, so I will be gone today and tomorrow, but I will still be here today and tomorrow.
Yes, and how glorious is that? Now, you're missing a 70-degree day. I mean, it's like, you could almost put a sweatshirt on right now. It's cool. It's maybe in the 60s, I should say, but it's just beautiful. This is what, you know, heavy hoofers like us, we could run all day in this weather.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, that is football weather, Wolf. I mean, just a little bit of overcast because, you know, it cools the heat flaps. It cools the mud flaps. You know what I'm saying? you know, listen, I mean, you know, there's some folds and there's a couple of rounding, you know, it's natural shading that tends to collect, you know what I'm saying? So this is breezy. This allows everything for all the circulation and flowation to go on.
Now, that's a great word. I've heard of circulation, but I've not heard of flowation. That's beautiful. Way to go, Max.
Yeah. Hey, there we go. I mean, hey, listen, we're just being creative on this show. We already decided. You know, there's Webster's and then there's Wolf Starksian.
Okay. That works. Now, the Steelers just came off of their big opening preseason victory, 32-25 over the Seattle Seahawks. Max, first of all, what was it like working the pregame TV? Because you're looking like the big dog there, man. You're looking great on TV.
You know, it was fun. It was different. You know, I'd never done that before. Amanda Renner was great. And, you know, being in the great hall, of course, the huge fan interaction, especially pregame, it was just cool. It was cool to feel that natural environment, to be a part of the game in that way. So I had a lot of fun. I'm looking forward to doing it for the next couple preseason games. Then it was a cool, different element, I think, for Steelers fans to either engage with us or for fans to feel like they're a part of the game, even if they're not physically at the stadium. I mean, I feel like it provides the perfect ambiance. So it was an awesome experience. And, you know, definitely helped me get my steps in, that being on one side of the stadium and, of course, the press box being on the other.
You know what's so funny is I will finish that point off with a quote from Tunch Ilkin from 20 years ago when he looked at me and said, "There's a reason you're on radio." how right Chaluch was at that moment, you know.
It was so revealing you didn't even know it, right?
Yeah, exactly. Well, Max, one of the things that we started off talking about on the first day of training camp, the very first day when they were getting acclimated to, you know, heat and so forth, although there's none today, this is beautiful. But the fact is, you know, we talked about the fact that they were notoriously slow starting in 2021. 37 first quarter points totaled all season long, 37. I mean, gadzooks, that's nothing, right? And 22 points in their last 8 games in the first half. Oh, my goodness. And yet here we see the Steelers came out on their very first drive, and that was significant, wasn't that, when Trubisky engineered that touchdown pass?
It was everything to show that, hey, this season is not like last season. It was to set a tempo and a mindset that, you know what, we can. And let's think about this. In camp, they've been slow starters.
Yes.
It's been a very slow process. So the fact that I think for them, it kind of eased a lot of demons in their minds and a lot of anxiety there, showing that they could go out there and that they felt they could do it. They were up to the task. And, you know, you look at the variety that was mixed in, the run and the pass, to really get things going. I thought that was a great sign. And it wasn't like it was stagnant, which I think was also really cool to see Mitch Trubisky kind of engineer that under duress. The offensive line working their combination blocks, working on their pass protections in a live fire situation with a pretty good defensive line to really go up against and test your mettle. And the safety, Kobe Bryant, I mean, was giving you everything you needed and more. So to see them operate under that and still have success, it was a pretty good sign.
Well, the other factor that we talked about on the very first day was the fact that Steelers defense gave up almost 2,500 yards rushing last year. That was going to be another significant thing. Number one, offensively, get a faster start. Defensively, got to shut down the run. Wasn't quite so good against the run. They still, that being Seattle, rushed for over 150 yards against the Steelers. That's not something we wanted to see.
Well, it's not something we wanted to see, but, I mean, the second half I felt like was where a majority of that yardage came in, when you had kind of a lot of your threes in the game and fours. And so, but I look at the first half and how they were just not allowed to really operate as much under the, I will say, 1Bs. If that's something, you know, because we had a lot of starters out. But I felt like it's a tale of two halves, because I felt like the first half they were absolutely getting after it. Geno Smith was constantly trying to figure out what to do. He was never comfortable, and I felt like that was more representative than what we saw in the second half, where you did see a couple of the assignment errors and some of the miscues on some of the downhill reads. But for giving up 25 points, I will say this. They made big plays in big moments, the young guys, and they started to prove that their mettle in that situation, which was nice to see that you are down, but you were never out.
You know, one of the interesting things that I'm reminded of over the years was back in your time frame when you were out on the field with the Steelers, when there was a huge amount of pride defensively under Dick LeBeau and being a top five, top three, top one defense as you were perennially during your time there. And I look at that and I think back to a preseason game when the Steelers were shutting somebody out. And in the fourth quarter, I remember James Ferrier and some of the other defensive guys getting out off the bench and rooting for the fourth quarter preseason dudes out there playing defense for the Steelers not to give up any points at the end. I mean, the other team was threatening and everything. But that sort of pride, that sort of, you know, group pride, despite the fact that these guys were probably those guys in the fourth quarter, most of them were not going to be around after the final cuts. But defensively speaking, whoever was wearing that black and gold jersey out there, representative of the defense, guys were rooting for it. You know, I mean, it was Aaron Smith, Brett Kiesel. I remember Casey Hampton. Well, Casey, I think, was still on the bench. He was kind of chilling. But anyhow, the other guys.
Casey was fist pumping from the bench.
Yes. He was
looking
for him.
At the screen. He wasn't looking at the field. He was looking at the screen.
There you go. But that's sort of pride, and that's sort of that's the kind of pride you want to engender amongst the group of guys as you start unfolding through the preseason.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, these are the moments where it's all about the teammates, right? That's a reaction to, you know, what they've been going through at St. Vincent. I mean, that's really what it comes down to. You forged a relationship and a bond with other guys that you normally would not have been exposed to in any other walk of life. And you guys come together. You know what it took to get to that game, right? The practices, the long walk back then when it was from Rooney, you know, down to the locker rooms and then back and then walking campus, you know, and the evening spending time either at that little triangle bench area right out front overlooking the fields or, you know, playing Uno or playing some cards or some Connect Four, playing video games and like that bonding time where it's like, I got nothing else to do. I'm in this environment. So, you know, this a way for guys to show their appreciation. You know, for us, you know, it's tough when you play such a testosterone, adrenaline-driven game where it's all about force. You always kind of feel on edge. And this is a moment where, you know, we can kind of relax and just, you know, say, I'm proud of what he's doing out there. That's my teammate. He's earned this opportunity, and look what he's doing. So it's pretty cool when you have those moments.
You know, it's interesting because you said Uno. Now, was Uno a big thing in your training camp? Because back in the day, they used to have Bure, and it was a card game that used to play all the time sitting around or on the flights and so forth. And I remember Chuck Knoll warning the veterans warning the rookies not to get involved with the vets because the vets were always trying to take the rookies' money.
Oh, man. Yeah, trust me, Bure was alive and well in our day as well, but for the non-gambling types, there was Uno.
There
was Uno. There was Tunk. There was, you know, there was. I mean, there was heated. Well, we couldn't do spades. Had dominoes, but Uno was always one of those just fun card games. You know, it was good, wholesome, clean fun. Yeah, you get into Bure, that's a whole different world right there.
There was a couple of rookies that got in over their heads. I think they had to appeal to a higher power there, that being Coach Knoll, to get the pots, whatever they threw in, get it back, you know?
Yes, but anyhow. Within reason.
Yes, within reason. All right, so your first, if you have a, what were some of the things that you thought about this game coming out of it, other than the fast start, which is, again, something we talked about in the rushing defense, but some of the individual performances and some of the things that you looked at that either confirmed or worried you a little bit more?
So I've not gotten all the way through the rewatch of the film. I'm about 50 plays in offensively.
Right.
And one of the things that kind of caught my eye that needs some improvement, I think I would say, would have to be some of the some of the pass protection things. Those are things that
there was
that
a couple jailbreaks there, a couple confusing situations. Yes,
yeah, a couple
kerfluffles.
Yeah, and so yeah, kerfluffles, and I think that's probably one of the areas, because I'm still, and maybe this is me, and maybe I need to spend the extra time to understand. Sometimes the IDs are what get me, right?
Mm-hmm.
The center and the mic IDs. Those are some of the things that kind of get me a little bit. I don't quite understand the philosophy, so I think that's something I need to spend more time just kind of diagnosing, diving deeper into the.
Well, you're on to something here, young man, because I'm agreeing with you, but continue.
Okay. But, yeah, because that's something I think that sets the lineup for success or failure. And a lot of that stuff is technical things, you know. And so I think when we saw some of those jailbreaks, it was literally a matter of some of the footworks and the steps or where the eyes were.
Yes.
Versus solidly knowing where they needed to be and being firm and rooted in that position. Felt like it was kind of like at certain points it was like passing off, right? Like you were expecting someone else to be there as
right.
You were looking towards somewhere else, and that's something that kind of really got to me as I was breaking down the film so far.
Exactly. So you're spot on. I might be a little bit ahead of you as far as watching the plays, but that might be because I think I fell asleep for a period of time.
You just kept it on play.
I guess I don't know that for a fact, but it seemed like I missed a part of the third quarter. But anyhow, you know, it just kind of happened, you know. You have a little snack oration. I got back from church. I flip on the film, and I'm watching, you know, and I get a little drowsy after a big meal, you know. You get a little – get some dessert action going on. All of a sudden, the carbs are dropping your head and everything. So, but regardless, I'll tell you this. There's a couple of instances, just like you said. You got people expecting people to be next door to them that weren't. You also have situations where they ran dogs with a twist off, you know, like a double A gap or off into the second level. And that's a hard thing to handle in the very first game going. You know what I mean? With guys that I have not been experienced playing next to each other. So that's something we got to explore here. What we're going to do is we're going to go to break. We're going to come back after this, and we're going to pick it up what we're talking about. We're talking about all things Steelers. We're here at St. Vincent College. It's training camp, and the Steelers won their first preseason game. We'll be back with more after this.
Good sleep should come naturally, and with the new Natural Hybrid mattress, it can. A collaboration between award-winning mattress brand Leesa and home design favorite West Elm, the Natural Hybrid is the culmination of these two companies' shared values. Premium materials, meticulous craftsmanship, and sustainable practices. Made with natural latex, responsibly sourced natural wool, and environmentally safe foams, the Natural Hybrid elevates your sleep sanctuary, indulges your senses, and supports a greener tomorrow. Plus, when you purchase the Natural Hybrid, you're also helping fuel Leesa's work with shelters and those in need. Since 2015, Leesa has donated more than 40,000 mattresses to ensure children and families have a safe place to sleep. Don't put off a good night's sleep any longer. Get a Leesa mattress today for a sound sleep tonight. Visit Leesa.com/iHeart. That's Leesa.com/iHeart.
Black and gold football lives here 24/7. You're listening to SNR. This is In the Locker Room with Wolf and Starks, presented by your neighborhood Ford store on ESPN Pittsburgh and Steelers Nation Radio.
Oh, he's looking a little disgusted, but I can't believe it because the great Bob Labriola, of course, from Steelers.com and Steelers Digest, is joining us here on the show this morning. But he's kind of looking like a little frumpish because he's got to wear a coat. And fat guys like me, we love this weather, Labs. It's cool, baby.
I'm feeling very, very lucky that I even thought to bring this. You know, how many times did I think, well, maybe I'll bring one long sleeve shirt? Never took it out of the closet.
Exactly.
I mean, I'm wearing
this
jacket. I've been wearing it.
How about that, though? But it's nice. Max, you should be here and see Labs, right? He's got a nice coat on. I wish I had that coat, Max.
You know what they're not going to need is a coat on Saturday night in Jacksonville.
Well, they'll need a rain jacket.
Oh, are they calling for rain?
Yes, they're calling for rain, Lab. So, yeah, just make sure you pack your slickers and get ready for Jacksonville.
Well, Labs, let me think. I don't think we have much to worry about from being in the booth or in the press box, right? I think there's a third member of this group here that might have a little bit of a problem.
Absolute burn.
There's even less chance of rain in my kitchen.
Lab gets to hang out.
You guys have a really nice trip to Southern Alabama or wherever it is you're going.
Hey, it's still North Florida. We'll claim it right now.
Indeed. Okay.
It is on the line.
All right. Now, let me, Labs, I got to ask you. Max and I have been talking about the offense and a fast start, which, you know, this is something. I know it's a preseason game. I know it's the first preseason game. But, again, when you score all of 37 first quarter points in 2021, you got to sit back and say, offensively, we got to open up a little bit more. What's your take on that?
Well, I mean, you mentioned 37 points in the whole first quarter last season, and I didn't look this up. I was going to rely on this. You know, you in the locker room has such a bigger budget for research. I figured you guys would have taken care of this. But how many times did the Steelers take the opening kickoff and go down the field and score a touchdown last season? I'll bet you could count it on your one hand and not need very many fingers. So, yeah, that to me was what I noticed right away in terms of, you know, what we saw from the offense Saturday night. You know, the other thing was, and I cannot remember, I'm an old guy, Wolf, like you. I can't ever remember finishing a game, preseason, regular season, postseason, whatever, where you had three quarterbacks play a significant amount and all three had passer ratings of over 100.
So that
was something that was extremely significant to me as well.
Well, and Labs, I mean, to kind of talk about that point, I mean, I think, you know, the biggest thing was, right, the third quarterback that came in, and that performance is what kind of sealed it to give you the triple, so to speak, in passer rating. But here's a question. Have you ever been to a preseason game where – it felt like nobody left the stadium, and it got louder later in the game as you had threes in? I mean, have you witnessed something like that? I mean, it was pretty crazy to think. You started with about 49,000. You probably ended with like 48,000 when the game was over.
Yeah, you know, I'll tell you what, Max. I really think that, you know, nothing energizes Steelers fan base during the preseason like a three-headed quarterback competition. And seriously, I mean, the only time I can ever remember this ever happening was 1996 when it was Jim Miller, Mike Tomczak, and Cordell Stewart. And, I think that the fact that it's a quarterback competition and, let's be honest, the fan favorite is the guy who's number three right now. Not jersey number three, number three on the depth chart. And you know, that's Kenny Pickett. And so I believe that, you know, as soon as Mason Rudolph came off the bench to replace Mitch Trubisky, everybody in the stadium knew that, okay, the next guy in is going to be Pickett. And if we want to watch him, we got to stay. You know, I don't know how many – and another thing about preseason crowds is that it's not necessarily the ticket holders who use the tickets. So, I mean, I don't know how many of that crowd, you know, were Pitt people or Pitt students or, you know, Pitt fans or, you know, any of those kinds of things. But I would imagine it was a decent representation of people who were there to see Kenny Pickett and to root for him. So I think that contributed to the fact that and the score that it was close contributed to the fact that how many people were there at the end.
Labs, you know, one of the important things that I thought was so cool because – you know, to have a hometown guy like Kenny Pickett come out, spent 5 years at Pitt, and you got head coach Pat Narduzzi of the Pitt Panthers, and I was told the entire Pitt football team was in attendance there. And what was amazing to me was when you started to hear the Kenny, Candy. It was like Eddie and the Cruisers, that movie, way back when they were chanting, Eddie, you know? I mean, it was really neat to see, and the fact that he responded with such a terrific performance. It does say something about the young man's ability to be composed in a tight moment.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you look at the quarterbacks, they all did things I thought that were what you look for from the position beyond, like, the stats, okay? Trubisky's ability to, as we were talking about, take the team right after the opening kickoff down the field and score. Okay, that's to me, a feather in his cap. You know, I thought Mason Rudolph did some nice things too. You know, that 17-play drive was a nice drive. And then the other one where after the punt return, you know, he stuck it in the end zone real quick. A nice throw, you know, to George Pickens, getting him the ball, even when you might technically say he wasn't really open, but this guy I don't think really has to be open to be open, if you know what I mean. And then, you know, Pickett putting it together at the end. You know, he really didn't do anything spectacular, I don't think, Kenny Pickett, but a rookie in his first preseason game, don't mess it up, is something that's usually pretty impressive. So, you know, sometimes it's the absence of a negative that becomes the positive as opposed to a positive on its own. Don't mess it up. I mean, how many times did you have a coach tell you that, Wolf? You know, seriously, I'm not, like, making fun of you. I'm just saying that sometimes, you know, the key to victory is, as Chuck would always say, the first thing you have to do to win a game is not lose it.
That's true.
And
that's
so
true.
He didn't lose it. And, again, that to me is a feather in his cap for his first outing as an NFL player.
Hey, Max, I don't know about you, but I think he was taking a shot at me anyhow, which is okay. That's okay. I mean, it's what we do in the locker room, right, Max?
Yeah, hey, that's what we are catchers. And, you know, and obviously there's a lot of pitchers out there that are throwing zingers at us. At least we have mitts on, right, Wolf? I mean, you know.
Hey, Max.
So one thing to save
you,
us, yeah.
You have a pretty good fastball, too. Don't be trying to BS me, Max. Hey, takes one to know one, you know.
I might be closer to, you know, good old Kenny from Eastbound and Down than I am Kenny Pickett. But, yeah, you know, I'm good for one out. But Laz, when you look at it, I think, you know, the notch we can give Kenny is how he executed the 2-minute drill. I think it kind of looked like practice with kind of how he stayed calm in that moment. And, you know, as time's expiring, I mean, you got 3 seconds left on the clock to kind of find and dink and dunk and get his way down there effectively. I thought he used his legs in an efficient manner. But, you know, at the end of the day, I think it was – you know, like you said, it was he did not turn the ball over. He had all three quarterbacks, great ball security, and for the most part, even under duress, you know, Mason kind of loses that one, but he gets it back. Mitch got one, and the guys were really conscious about how they kept the ball and being around the ball, and guys were alert from the offensive, you know, side of the ball to be looking for those things. You know, you saw guys jump on top, like when Jaylen Warren had his, you know, you see Miles Boykin jump on top of it. I thought that was just a great sense of urgency by the offense as a whole. And, you know, Kenny kind of rose to that occasion knowing what it was watching the other guys play.
Well, the other thing I think that all the quarterbacks, you know, deserve credit for, no burn timeouts, no delay of games, none of those situations where all of a sudden you see the quarterback pop out of the huddle and, like, raise his hands to the sideline, like, we only have 8 guys out here, you know, or something, or we have 14 guys out here. You know, whatever it was. There weren't any of those, you know, kind of brain cramp things that you often might see in a preseason opener because, you know, none of that stuff's really happening out here at training camp. You don't have a lot of sideline to coach communication going on. I mean, usually, you know, they're all out on the middle of the field just talking. There wasn't any problems with that. It seemed like everybody was on the same page with that. Again, there were no burn timeouts, no play clock problems. You know, no false starts. You know, a lot of the game management things all went off without a hitch. You're playing 3 quarterbacks. 2 of them are new to your team, and 1 of them is not only new to your team but new to the NFL. And so I think that just speaks well for the preparation, and those guys poise under game circumstances.
You know, under the guise of unknowns, I thought two guys that acquitted themselves, I know we all agree on this, on number 30, Jaylen Warren, and number 93, Mark Robinson, two guys that have been showing up like diamonds in the rough throughout training camp. But, Labs, how about your take on both of those guys, what contributors they were to it Saturday night?
Well, you know, Mark Robinson, I'm not going to sit here and claim to know, you know, where inside linebackers need to be on certain plays, and was he there, and I have no idea. I'll ask some people who get paid to know. But when you make up, let me say this, Mark Robinson, and he's new to that linebacker position,
yes,
too, he's running
right
back. His awareness when, okay, this is his first preseason game. He's in the game. You imagine the young man's excitement. I got a clear shot at the quarterback.
Yeah.
He had the wherewithal to get the ball out. You know, I mean, that's, to me, that's certainly an awareness that you hope to teach, but you don't necessarily know whether they're going to learn it right away because, you know, that's what needed to happen in that situation. Yes, you need to get the quarterback on the ground, but you have an opportunity to get the ball out in a tie game to put your offense in a position and then win it, and you do it, and it works, extra feather in your cap. Jaylen Warren, I love the guy. I mean, from what I've seen in camp, I've been you know, banging the drum for him for a while. But if I had an opportunity to give him one piece of advice, it would be this: do not fumble again in the preseason.
Right.
Do not do it.
Yeah.
I mean, he didn't lose it the last time. I get it. But I'm telling you, just like Bill Cowher had triggers that just made him crazy, all coaches have triggers that make them crazy. Fumble the football a couple of times, and Mike Tomlin will divorce you in a heartbeat. So that's what I would just say to him. You know, you got a shot at a roster spot. You are not Najee Harris. Maybe Najee Harris could put the ball down in a preseason game and not lose his job or his status. But you are not that guy, and so do not do that again, because there are other – you know, Master Teague looked pretty good, and he's a guy who just showed up here 15 minutes ago, it seems like. So, Jaylen Warren, there's a lot of things I like about him. Do not establish yourself as a fumbler, because you will not be a Pittsburgh Steeler then.
No, absolutely not. And like you said, a fine performance, you don't want the triggers to come out, because the triggers erase everything that's good.
Right.
just by one little mistake. You know, Laz, before we get out of here, I wanted to ask, when – we were looking at some of the other kind of lesser knowns. I mean, we named Jaylen Warren. We named Mark Robinson. That's down the list. I want to go a little bit higher. Not quite George Pickens higher, because George Pickens just simply does George Pickens things. But I do want to look at DeMarvin Leal and just kind of how you felt like he kind of impacted the game from your perspective.
See, that's a tough one, Max. That's another position where I usually come to you guys and say – you know, when we're talking about play in the trenches, I don't know enough about it to even pretend to try and sound smart. So I'm going to throw it back at you. What'd you think of him? Seriously. I'm serious.
Yeah, no.
I'm not.
Yeah. So I thought from my perspective, I thought it was good first game, right? This is always the toughest thing for a young guy transitioning to a 3-4. Is coming in and understanding your two-gap responsibilities, and then also understanding when you can actually penetrate and, you know, and cause disruption. I thought DeMarvin, early in the game, fresh legs, did a great job. Middle of the game, got a little bit high, and then towards the end of the game, kind of reestablished himself. So it kind of was a little bit of a roller coaster, right? Rolling hills throughout the game. But I felt like he acquitted himself really good, all said and done. I'm going to still go back and watch the film again. But from first glance, I was like, okay, he looks like he fits in here.
Thanks, Max. Let me just tell you this. Don't be surprised if you hear some of those very words coming out of my mouth in the next couple of days.
But no, here's worries. Something we can all – we got to go to break, but we can answer quickly. Hey, the pork loin in the cafeteria, was that good or what? Oh, that was good stuff before the game, was it not?
Oh, I'm so mad at you. Because I couldn't have it, remember? I was rushing to get to the pregame show. So I did not get to enjoy it, Wolf.
Excuses, Wolf. What can I tell you?
So
that's it.
So mad at you guys.
All right, let's go to break. That's Max Starks. I'm Craig Wolfley. We got the great Bob Labriola, who just dropped by. Thank you so much, Labs. As always, we appreciate you. We'll be back with more at training camp.
This is In the Locker Room with Wolf and Starks, presented by your neighborhood Ford store on ESPN Pittsburgh and Steelers Nation Radio.
Now, I realize the game Saturday night was, you know, it's a preseason game, right? I mean, it's got more vanilla than a Ben & Jerry's triple-dipped waffle cone, for crying out loud. But here's the thing about it. You know, there was a lot of excellent performances, guys rising up individually, which is what you want to see. And, Max, one of the guys that I thought took a big step forward was a guy we've talked about who's been explosive basically since day one in training camp, that being Anthony McFarland, who I thought this kid just came out and rocked it from the get-go. He had three runs of 7 yards or more amongst the seven carries. That, you know, included a 24-yard run. He did some good things there.
That's called understanding the assignment and executing the assignment, right?
Right.
I think he came out with a burst, a pop. And, you know, there's something to be said when your name gets called for that starting role, right? It's something different that clicks on in your mind, Wolf. I'm sure, you know, you could talk about the first time you knew you were starting a football game. I mean, how was that feeling for you? And I'm sure
right.
that was exactly how it was for Anthony McFarland. So tell me, because I'm now going to ask the question. You know, how was it when you found out the first time you were going to start, preseason or regular season, whenever it was? How was that for you?
It was a big gulp. It was the third preseason game of my second year when the great Sam Davis was injured and went down for the year. Now I was up here at training camp, and we're getting prepared to play the Dallas Cry Boys down in Dallas, right? So what do we do? Yeah. We're sitting there after the meeting's over, and Raleigh Dotch, my line coach, he says, hey, wait for me after, you know, the meeting's over, da-da-da. He sits down and says, well, it's your time now. This is your opportunity. You're going to start down in Dallas. I remember everything just kind of went, it was a big gulp, you know, a big, deep breath of air. It kind of was a little scary because it's that moment, Max, when you know this is your time, okay? You either you hit it and get it and you grab the moment, or, you know, this is, as my line coach in college told me years ago, you know, the train may only come around to the station once. You better be ready to jump on it when it comes. And you know Mike Tomlin and moving trains. So the thing about it was, back in the day, that was my opportunity, and you had to make the most of it. And thank God I at least did enough that I was able to continue on and play for another decade plus.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's a special moment. You know, I remember mine was, you know, in the first preseason game of my second year, we were competing.
Oh, you beat me by two games.
I did. I know. I beat you by two games, but only because Oliver Ross signed in free agency, right?
Oliver Ross,
the Cardinals in free agency. It created a void, and it was myself and Trey Essex, who was a drafted rookie. We were competing for the right tackle job. And because I'd been there longer, you know, I got the first dibs at it, and I just remember thinking, oh my goodness. I'm really about to like run out the tunnel type of deal. I'm like,
yeah,
what? I was like, it's just so surreal. Cause you know, I had the benefit of jumping in games, you know, at the end of games and
sure.
And also, okay, I need to move back. Week 17 of my rookie year. That's when Allen said he wasn't playing. Remember?
Yeah.
That was my first start at left guard. This is my first start at tackle. So let's kind of change that. Allen decided he did not want to play in that Buffalo game because we had already sealed up the number one seed.
Right.
It was like, Rook, you're in. And him and Jeff Harding set out. And so Chucky and Kobe and I were like, all right, okay.
Okay, here we go.
You could have told me this a little bit before practice during the week. Maybe I would have got some reps with the ones. No. Okay. All right. Cool. I'm a pro. You start telling yourself that.
You know.
But, yeah, but it was wild.
You know, the funny thing about it is that, you know, when the time comes for you, it's how you handle it. And I thought Anthony McFarland handled it so well. I got to correct myself. He had four carries for 7 yards or more. I mean, think about it. I mean, the one thing is last year, you know, he had the knee injury and so forth, and you thought this guy was a big play, explosive-type character. You know what I mean? Jackrabbit speed, great cutting ability, the cutback he sees and everything. You know, you think, okay, it's all there, and it's just never really manifested itself in the way that you thought. I immediately thought of Dennis Green. You know Dennis Green, you know, the old Minnesota coach?
Yeah,
he is who we thought he was when we drafted him 3 years ago, but it wasn't until now. You know what I mean? That's who Anthony McFarland was. He showed this is the guy that we thought he was, but we haven't seen it till now. But, boy, did we see it Saturday night.
That's right, and we're not going to let him off the hook.
That's right, I forgot that part.
Yeah, you forgot. No, but I mean, but you're right. I mean, you know, that's one of the things you love to see when guys live up to the expectation, right? Live up to the hype that we kind of had about them. And that hype, the more deeds they do, the more they show us, it starts to curl the top of that Y to where you can get a nice little oval going. And you know what that Y turns into?
What's
an
that?
O.
An O.
And what is an O? What was the O when you spell that word out? H-O-P-E is hope. And I think that's kind of how you have to look at these deeds. You know, George Pickens is another guy I would put in that category. Like,
true.
He was who we thought he was. That's why we, you know, spent a second-round draft pick on him, right? And we used that pick because we knew what the potential was. And now we're starting to see just a little bit of that potential get more and more realized. It's not a finished product. It's not a guarantee. But it's closer and closer to building out to what we expect them to be and them being impact contributors to this team, especially this year.
You know, one of the things that I thought was great was that we saw Anthony McFarland hit it between the tackles. All right, we know we can run to the sidelines. There's no doubt. If you know, you know, you look at that outside zone. If you look at the tackle or the tight end, whoever's there, and their butt is straight ahead, you know you can take it to the sidelines. But if you're staring at that guy's butt because the edge setter's gotten upfield, you got to cut it back. Well, we know that he's capable of taking it right to the sidelines. We know that he's capable of cutting it all the way back. But when he ripped it just several times there from tackle to tackle, I thought, wow, that's looking pretty good.
Yeah, no, I thought so the one play where he ripped it to the sidelines and had that one run, it was perfect execution. That was when you're supposed to.
The 24-yarder, yes.
Yeah, he did not Willie Parker it. You know, and I say that with love and affection because I love Willie.
Mm-hmm.
But Willie, the second he thought that the hole might have closed, Willie was gone. I was like, Willie, it has not closed. I thought it was. Come on, just stay with it. Anthony held to the last second before he made that cut out to the left because they were running double, and both of the backers fired in the A-gaps,
right,
opposing A-gaps. And so it took and the line blocked it up nicely to muddy the waters, and it was some nice physicality. I saw some pig pen splashing going on, right? Like a pig in slop. The O-line was happy. But McFarland made a great cut to the outside to really break that thing open, and that was the right read in that moment. So I thought that was also good that he wasn't just relying on his feet. He trusted his eyes before he unleashed that fifth gear.
And he did. I mean, that was acceleration like what we want to see out of this young guy. It was fun watching it. You know, the thing about the offensive line, and we'll get into this more in the second hour, boy, did they look better than what we've seen up at camp. I mean, it's the only way to put it. You know, maybe it's because the defensive line and everybody's been working hard, but that offensive line, we got less than 30 seconds max. That offensive line really looked pretty darn good run blocking-wise Saturday night.
They found a groove.
They
found a groove, and they found a mesh. And I thought it was really good that Pat Meyer kept Kendrick Green and Dan Moore in for the entirety of that first half before making the switch for them because they need to work on their chemistry more so than Chooks and James. Daniels needed to. And I thought that was a great move to see them really work and kind of get into a rhythm together.
No question about it. All right, that's a wrap on the first hour. We're going to come back with more. We're up at training camp. It's a beautiful day. It's training camp-wise, it's an Arctic day. I mean, if you're coming up here, you might want to bring a sweater. Who ever thought you'd be saying that?
No.
Yeah.
Say it as it's so, Wolf. Are you seeking comfort right now?
Not me.
Are you seeking
not
comfort
me. But I'm looking at Jacob, who's threatening to run out and get one. All right, we'll be back.
Jacob's about to put on a snowsuit after this.
Oh, yeah, he's grinning. Okay, we'll be back with more right here up at training camp. More right here.
When you want black and gold football talk, you want SNR.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
Live Nation presents Concert Week. Now through May 14th, get $25 tickets to over 5,000 shows. That's up to 75% off a summer full of your favorite artists like 21 Savage, Alanis Morissette, Cage the Elephant, Celeste Barber, Dierks Bentley, Fade, Hootie and the Blowfish, Janet Jackson, Kidz Bop Kids, Meghan Trainor, Bizzle Fuma, Sarah McLachlan. Get tickets to more than 5,000 summer shows for just $25. Until now through May 14th. Visit LiveNation.com/Concert Week to learn more and plan your summer with Sean Paul, Sum 41, 30 Seconds to Mars, oh, and Two Door Cinema Club.